Eisner next became convinced that Katzenberg was scheduling screenings of Rough Cuts without including him. He assented to this diminished role in part because he was so busy with other parts of the company, especially construction of Euro Disney. But he complained about it to Wells and viewed it as a worrying indication that Katzenberg's ego was running amok. To Katzenberg, the explanation was simple. He had to keep Eisner at arm's length because his comments were erratic, in large part because he was being stretched too thin. In any event, Eisner's attendance at weekly meetings at the studio did fall off. The studio did have some hits, Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act, and The Mighty Ducks, greenlit largely because one of Eisner's sons played hockey, and the quirky Tim Burton feature, The Nightmare Before Christmas. But as the money-losing failures mounted, Eisner complained to Wells that Katzenberg had abandoned the fiscal discipline that had made the studio such a success, giving in to agents' demands in a misguided effort to integrate Disney with the kind of talent that might deliver a hit. Eisner, of course, could always have overruled him, but he said nothing directly to Katzenberg, and their Monday night dinners continued as usual. Yet in his mind, blame for the studio's failures increasingly rested with Katzenberg. Eisner's bonus for 1991 sank to $4.7 million, a fortune to most people at Disney, but a fraction of his previous year's pay. Eisner responded by slashing the bonus pool for the live-action studios in half, a decision communicated by Wells in an unusually harsh memo to executives. Katzenberg protested, and some of the bonus pool was restored, but morale at the Touchstone and Hollywood studios sank. Fortunately for Disney, animation was more than making up for the failures of live-action. In March 1991, Katzenberg and Schneider arranged a preview in New York City of the still-unfinished Beauty and the Beast, although it wasn't really as unfinished as the work they actually screened. To build anticipation, Katzenberg had chosen a print from 2 months earlier. The opening sequence, Belle, was fully realized and in color, but most of the rest of the film remained in black and white. It had the effect of focusing attention on the remarkable score and lyrics. In the audience that night was a far more sophisticated crowd than was ordinarily drawn to children's animated films. Press, critics, Academy members who lived in New York. The screening was part of a carefully planned strategy to get Academy Award consideration for Beauty and the Beast, though no animated film had ever received a Best Picture nomination. Snow White received a special Academy Award. After the screening, David Geffen, Katzenberg, and Schneider rushed to St. Vincent's Hospital to brief Ashman. The hospital in New York's Greenwich Village had become the leading AIDS treatment center in the country. But treatment consisted mostly of trying to ease the collapse of the body's immune system and the pain of debilitating afflictions. There was no cure and as yet no effective treatment. St. Vincent's facilities were all but overwhelmed by the epidemic, which had filled its wards with gay men of all ages and from all walks of life. Ashman had entered the hospital the previous December, but had spent Christmas at his home with Lotch and family members. He had kept working even as his health deteriorated. He and Mankin resumed work on the Aladdin project, and most of the score was finished. Now he had returned to the hospital. Word that three powerful Hollywood executives had come to see Ashman rippled through the ward. Ashman lay in his bed.